Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and read and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us and we will be right back. A Conference for the Whole Family. The Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity on the campus of Our Lady of Corpus Christi, 1200 Lantana, will present its third family conference on July 12th and 13th. The conference, entitled Rejoice, will feature dynamic presentations in both English and Spanish from outstanding speakers including Father Sam Medley and Father Dan Estes, along with other SOLT priests, sisters, and laity. There'll be a youth program, childcare, music by Movement 5, and so much more. You may register in person on campus at the Our Lady of Corpus Christi bookstore or online at ourladyofcc.org. For more information, call 361-289-9095. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. How are you today?
I'm fine,
thank you. Hope you had a nice 4th of July.
Yes, wonderful 4th of July, and of course, the first Sunday in July, we're in the throes of summer.
Right.
But all good.
Good.
So our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money, bag, nor sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. To whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house, and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what they set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town.' The 72 returned rejoicing and said, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name.' Jesus said, 'I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I am giving you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, in this gospel, it sounds like it's the great sending out of the apostles and also of the church.
Yes, it's one of those, you have to say, what is it saying to us today? And that's always the relevance of the gospel that spoken so many years ago by Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the word of life, the incarnation, the incarnate word. His words then are as irrelevant to us today. And so if we look at it in today's context, the Holy Father in his mandate to the church keeps calling us a church that goes forth, a church that goes out. You know, even the end of the Mass, we always say, go in peace, go.
Right.
But it's go. It's not go home and close your door, but go home and bring the good news. What you have received, give as a gift. So he's really sending them out. And I think the reality of the 72 others, not mm-hmm. just the 12 apostles, but the 72 others that are chosen is a representation really of all of us, that we're all sent in whatever way we can, sometimes because of our age, because of our abilities. It's a matter of praying for others, being aware of other people's situations. Maybe I physically can't do something,
right.
but it doesn't mean I'm not sent or that I'm not part of the body of Christ and can do something. The other part, I think, in that sending out the 72, it's in pairs. So now we've reduced it to, 36?
Pairs.
If you want to look at it as reduced. But the power of those 36 pairs is a power of witness, that Jesus' commandment to us is to love one another, to have an internal love for one another, to be able to be ready to give our life for each other. And that's what the pairs can represent, that they are, they have Jesus among them through their love of him and their love for one another. So it's a very practical, I would say, missionary mandate that he's giving them, and certainly something that is very, very relevant for us today. Many times we, in our egotistical, narcissistic world, we want to be the top of the heap. We want to be the best. We want to be the best preacher. We want to be the best this. We want to have the most numbers in this. Jesus is very simple, very practical, because he comes from a Trinitarian life. He sends them out two by two. So nobody takes the lead in thinking that everything depends on them.
Or the credit.
It's a credit, the better word, the mutual self-giving and the mutual credit, if you want to say, mm-hmm. but the credit always goes to God. So we all always need to look out for our egos, especially in spreading the word of God, that it's not us that's important. It's Jesus Christ.
When I think of going out in pairs, too, it's helpful when you are talking to people to have two people, because you can add value. When the other person that you're talking to says something, the second one can hear things that the first one may not. You know, so
right, there's a practical
sure.
value, but the ultimate value is a witness and an ability to defer to one another mm-hmm. Out of love for Christ. So it's really showing that love of Christ that's shared by the two. So,
well, it's interesting, and he really gave him these told them specifically what to do, you know, and what not to do. You know, carry no money, no sack, no sandals, greet no one along the way. I mean, specifics.
Well, yes, exactly. And if you look at it, I think if we kind of, as we say, unpacked it, we can read over it very quickly as lambs among wolves. A lamb is really defenseless. A lamb, in that sense, is a kind animal, one that you'd want to hug and, mm-hmm. and be attracted to. The wolf is the one that repulses you, the one that you run from. And so he's giving them the mandate to be lambs, not wolves. And I think that's an examination of conscience for all of us, because all of us get frustrated in the world we live in, which is really a great, we're just finishing up in these days, the whole religious freedom mm-hmm. prayers that we have at this time of the year. But there is a real attack on the church. There's an attack on religion, on faith across the globe, even in our own. I mean, there's subtle little policies that many of us can experience even right here in our own state or in our own country, where religion is kind of pushed aside or tried to be rendered powerless. In that, we're tempted to become wolves, you know, and fight. Now, mm-hmm. definitely we stand up
right.
for our rights, but with what attitude? Mm-hmm. That's where I think it's very important today that we as disciples of Jesus Christ do not lose the characteristic part of the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb that was sent to the cross. We can read Isaiah, you know, the Lamb that was led to the slaughter. That's not just some kind of a soft or defenseless person. That's a person, Jesus, who intentionally went to the cross as a Lamb to show that he did not lose the center of his focus, which was love for God and for man, even love for his enemy. So when we're sent out to evangelize in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our the halls of government, we're to be lambs. Speak the truth very strongly. I mean, Jesus himself in front of Pilate spoke very strongly, but he was still at heart a lamb. He was there even for Pilate. He was there even for those who persecuted him. He was not there against them. He did not join the wolf pack.
Right.
And we have to be careful not to join the wolf pack in defending ourselves, our rights, defending life, defending so many things, but to speak the truth, and above all, to live the gospel two by two. So that, and to do that, he goes on to say, take no money, bag, sack, sandals, greet nobody. In other words, don't waste time, but also don't take a lot of things to rely on. It's like, well, you know, my internet, my computer, my cell phone, my this, my Bible, my, if you're a preacher, priest, you know, you always rely on the commentaries and the Bible says this. All that's true and all that's certainly one, but to rely on it without the fact, has that word become flesh in you? Are you the word? Jesus was the Word of God, and he gave us the power as children of God to become the Word. We're not here spreading theories. We're not here spreading ideologies. We're not here spreading theology, etc. We need all that. But ultimately, as a missionary, person to person, it's a lamb who is filled with the Word of God, who can present the truth of Jesus Christ and his Word without all the supports that we sometimes rely upon in our jobs, in our professions or whatever, but to go defenseless, but the only defense is our love for God and his word living inside of each one of us.
I'm thinking of walking the talk and actions speaking louder than words, you know, yeah. What our actions are.
Right. It's more than the actions, it's who we are.
Right.
I mean, I think the thing is, I don't know how I can always stress this more, but I was reading recently from a theologian, a wonderful man, a Swiss theologian who's deceased now, but von Balthasar, speaking in prayer. He said that God gives each one of us the grace to not only understand, but to welcome the Word of God into us. And if you want to know what the will of God is, if you don't know the Word, you know, not in the head, but if you don't know it in your heart, in other words, if you're not becoming that word, those words of Jesus, then you're not going to ever understand the will of God. You're going to do what you want with a nice attitude, but to do it is the word of God. So I think that's what Jesus is saying here. Be careful not to rely on knowledge or things, but to rely on the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, who sends you.
Mm-hmm. And I liked that quote, Bishop, because it's having it in your heart, not in your head. It's in your heart.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And finally, I would just say, I know our time's running out here, but hospitality, the importance of hospitality. And I would say, starting with us, to be hospitable to the Word of God in our lives. When Jesus says some very difficult things like love your enemy, welcome that word. Turn the other cheek. Welcome that word. Otherwise, we cannot be true disciples and true missionaries of his.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we are going to read and discuss the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
What is a spiritual exercises retreat? Beginning on a Thursday at 4:30 p.m. through Sunday at 1:30 p.m., you can find out by experiencing His voice in prayer as you pray with Scripture, according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. The place for these spiritual exercises retreats is Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome, near Interstate 37 and North Padre Island Drive. Men's and women's retreats alternate each month. To find a weekend date that fits your schedule, visit deepprayer.org or call 361 1-800-289-9095.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. With this being the first Sunday in July, we have another Focolare Word of Life this month. And this month, the scripture is from Matthew.
Right. It's taken from the 10th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, the words of Jesus, which are, "You received without payment, give without payment." A very strong, but very, very practical. In fact, I have a little experience to share with you at the end of the reading that I've already had this month with these particular words. You received without payment, give without payment. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus addresses these powerful words to his followers, to those he sends out. He had personally encountered a lost and suffering humanity and felt compassion for them. That is why, through the apostles, Jesus wanted to extend his work of salvation, healing, and liberation. They had gathered around him, heard his words, and received a mission and purpose for their lives, and so they set out to bear witness to God's love for every person. You received without payment, give without payment. But what did they receive without payment that they ought to give back? Through Jesus' life, in his words, deeds, and choices made, the apostles experienced the mercy of God. Despite their weaknesses and limitations, they received the new law of love, of mutual acceptance. Above all, they received the gift that God wants to give to all, himself, his companionship along the journey, his light to help guide their choices. These priceless gifts, which are worthy far beyond our ability to repay, are given freely and unconditionally. The apostles and all Christians have been freely given these gifts so that they can then become channels of the same gifts for every person they meet each day. You received without payment, give without payment. In the October 2006 Word of Life, Kara Lubick wrote this, and I quote, "Throughout the Gospel, Jesus invites his disciples to give to the poor, to the one who asks, to the one who wants to borrow. If anyone wants your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. To give without payment, Jesus was the first to give, restoring health to the sick, forgiving sinners, and giving his life for all." And she continues, "To counteract our instinct to hoard, Jesus calls for generosity. To overcome our inclination to worry about our needs, he shifts the focus to our neighbors. And instead of the culture of having, he teaches the culture of giving." This month's Word of Life can help us rediscover the value of everything we do. This might be household chores, factory work, or farming. It might be an office administration or school homework, or it might be our civic, political, or religious duties. Everything can be transformed into attentive and thoughtful service for others. Love will help us see others' needs and show us how to respond creatively and generously. And the result? Gifts will circulate, because love generates more love. Joy will be multiplied, since it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is exactly what happened to Virgence, a young girl from the Congo. She quotes, "On my way to school, I was really hungry," she shared. "Then I met my uncle, who gave me money to buy a sandwich. But a little further on, I saw a very poor man. I immediately thought of giving him the money. My friend told me not to do it. But I said to myself, I will find food tomorrow. But will he? And so I gave him my sandwich money, and I was very happy." You received without payment, give without payment. gospel logic is that we always receive in order to share, never to accumulate for ourselves. It is also an invitation for us to recognize that we have received energy, talent, skills, and material goods, and that we put them at the service of others. According to the economist Luigi Bruni, he says, quote, "Gratuitously, meaning unconditional giving, is an attitude that can accompany any act. It is not that something needs to be free of charge, quite the opposite, because gratuitousness does not mean that something costs nothing. Rather, it represents an infinite cost, to which we can only respond by doing the same ourselves. Therefore, giving freely overcomes the logic of the market, of consumerism, of individualism, and opens us to reciprocity, to social relations, to a sense of family, a new culture of giving. Our experience confirms that selfless love is a real challenge, but one that has positive and unexpected social consequences. This is what happened in the Philippines through a project that began in 1983. At that time, the country's socio-political situation was very difficult, and many people were seeking positive solutions. A group of young people decided to contribute in a different way. They opened their closet and removed everything they no longer needed. They sold it all, and with a small amount raised, they opened a social center called Bukas Palad, which means with open hands. The gospel sentence that inspired them was, "You received without payment, give without payment." Some doctors joined, offering their professional services without wanting anything in return. And there were many others who opened their hearts, their hands, and their homes. That was how a wide range of social action developed, helping the poorest people. It still offers various types of services in several cities in the Philippines today. However, the most important goal achieved over the years is that of enabling those who receive help to free themselves from enslavement to poverty. In fact, they rediscover their dignity as people and thus build relationships of esteem and solidarity. Their example and commitment help many others to escape from poverty and take on responsibilities for a new way of life for themselves and their families, their neighborhood and communities, and for the world.
Wow, there was a lot of information in this Word of Life for this month.
I think this is a, what would you say, kind of an earthquake for all of us.
Yes.
You know, personally, just to listen to those two small experiences, which became, you know, one very simple of a girl giving her money for food for a poor person, and also this community in the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
Bukas Palad, that have now created this huge organization that helps mm-hmm. people and puts them to work.
Yes.
Actually, I've actually seen it. It's a beautiful experience. But again, all because it's motivated by the gospel. You know, mm-hmm. give you what you have received without payment, give without payment. This whole thing of gratuity that Mr. Bruni speaks about, you know, it can accompany all of our works, you know, in the smallest gestures that are there. I mean, we think always big time, earning, hoarding. I mean, some of those programs you see of hoarding, it's just sad. But anyway, that's beyond our dignity. But I wanted to share a little experience just after reading this the first time at the beginning of the month. I was on a conference call with a bishop friend of mine that I will see in a couple of weeks on vacation, and he has an appointment in the Vatican in a few weeks, in August, actually. And we were talking, and he said, "By the way, would you have an extra pectoral cross?" That's the cross the bishop wears. He says, "You know, I don't. I really only have the wooden one, and I have to go and I'll see the Pope, and I just would like to have something. But I don't anything fancy, nothing fancy." So, I mean, you know, and he, all of a sudden I went, "How many do you have, me?" And I thought, well, you know, you buy one. Somebody gave me one right at the beginning when I was named, before I was even a bishop. Somebody gave me another one. A brother gave me one. So, you know, I have like four or five. And, you know, and then the Pope's given me one. Pope Benedict gave me one. And when you go see him 7 years ago, he gives you a cross. So, you know, this little collection, I thought, you know, I don't wear them. So anyway, I said, certainly, absolutely. And I think he wanted to make sure it was simple. So he said, could you take a picture and send it to me before you bring it? I said, sure. But it was just that sense you received this gift without asking for it or wanting it. Mm-hmm. And why have it in your closet or your drawer and somebody can use it? So I said, it gave me great joy to say yes. And today I'm going to take a picture of it and send it over to him to get its approval before I bring
it. Of course.
But anyway. But I think there's things like that which can bring life to us in a world of plenty. Mm-hmm. And if we just looked at what we had, what did I do to deserve this, to get it, to receive it? Nothing. Mm-hmm. So why am I holding on to something that, yeah, is mine, but it's not mine. It was given to me. So.
And as you say, you can't wear them all at one time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's so, but anyway, yeah, well, so it was a little experience, certainly nothing like this, but it's something that puts a mentality in motion mm-hmm. into us that we can give, we can share what we have, and not only just share it, but to experience the joy of Christ in our lives by giving it. And it's not something that we hold on to protect.
Yes, thank you. A wonderful word for us to reflect on this month. If you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.